In the name of Jesus, sicknesses and diseases have to go. In the name of Jesus, we're saved. In the name of Jesus, we have hope and deliverance. In the name of Jesus, there's power. There's power for salvation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We bless you, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that in the name of Jesus, we can enjoy the anointing of you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence this morning, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your comfort. We thank you that you are gentle with us. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you don't force us into submission, but you love us into a place where we want to live for God. And we thank you for your presence in this place this morning, Lord God. We thank you that you're here to speak to us this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you're here to change lives this morning, Lord. We thank you that you're here to give us understanding, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you that you're watching over your word, Lord. That means that even if I mumble and stumble over my words, even if I make mistakes, you're not going to make a mistake. You're going to speak the truth of your word to the hearts of us, your people, this morning, so that we're free, Lord, that we have understanding. Thank you, where there's confusion, you bring peace, Lord. Thank you, where there's confusion, you bring clarity this morning in the name of Jesus with your word. We thank you, Lord God, that as we discuss things from what we call the Bible today, that it becomes life. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst men. Thank you that you dwell with us this morning, Lord God, as we enjoy each other. You enjoy us, and we're going to enjoy your presence this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Sons and daughters of the Most High God, before you sit down, who said you could sit down? We don't kill us, yellow. I know. As you can opstaan, don't get offended with me. If it's comfortable for you, sit down, that's fine. Just groet mekaar vriendelik, of you stand, of you sit. Let the warmth and the love of Jesus spread in this place. Hallelujah. There's a blonde in the front row here that asks, mag ons nou sit? Ja, julle mag maar sit hoor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. It's just wonderful to see people greeting each other with a love of the Lord. You know, that's one thing that made the time of COVID, which thank God has passed, so difficult, because you can sit in front of your TV and watch a movie of your fireplace, but it's not the same as sitting in front of your fireplace at home. You can luister vir 'n ou op die televisie screen and think, oh, this is so cool and so, but it's not the same as actually being in the presence of somebody that can look you in the eye, which is the windows of your soul, and give you a hug and give you an encouragement and give you a smile. And it's so awesome just to see the people doing that. And what I see here this morning, you guys are greeting each other. The scripture says in Psalm 133, behold, that means look, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity, because there God commands the blessing, even life forevermore. Isn't it good to dwell with each other this morning in His presence? So for those of you that are watching online at home, if you cannot make it to celebration somewhere this morning, God bless you, but make sure the first opportunity that you can, you get your blessed assurance into a place of fellowship and experience God's presence with His people. Are you okay with that, folks? Bless you guys. So I wonder if our lives as Christians is lived too much out in the open for everybody to see. I wonder if it's too exposed and too open for everybody to see. What would happen if we spent more time in secret places and shadows and less time in full public display? How many know what I'm talking about this morning? This morning's message is called Secrets and Shadows. And our key scripture is from the book of Psalm, verse 91 and verse 1. It says, he who dwells, everybody say dwells. In the secret place, say secret, of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. Everybody say shadow. Of the Almighty. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What would happen in our lives and the lives of the people around us if we spent more time in secret places and shadows and less time on full public display? Let's explain that a little bit more. Let's imagine that public display refers to the world's current obsession with social media presence and influence. I'll say that again. Imagine if this public displays the world's obsession with social media exposure and presence. Can you relate to what I'm saying, church? The millennials, speak to me. You're not good if you have under X amount of likes. You're only worthwhile looking at if you have thousands and tens and hundreds of likes. Am I speaking the truth this morning? So your status and your value is based on how much public exposure you get on social media platforms. This is making sense to somebody this morning, okay? Let's imagine that the principle of open for all to see refers to the world's obsession with the following. Open for all to see, where people think, I've seen people, my favorite holiday place is Belito, because I get to disappear, relax, remain calm. There's no worthy woman there. It's a beautiful place, surely. It's amazing. Your parents live there. You must tell them that you've invited me to go visit them in their Belito. See, I like it because I get to ride my mountain bike just away from everything and everyone, just spend time with Jesus pedaling together. And we watch the people on the beach. They take anything between, some of them, anything between 5 minutes and 15 minutes, getting the right pose. The timing of the waves and the flick of the hair and the flexing of the biceps and the, you know, trek him off in and what's up, you know. Just to get the right, so to make sure that the social media presence has some kind of an impact. That they would mean something to somebody because they're not too sure of their self-worth, I think, maybe. Because they do not know how valuable and precious they are to Jesus, no matter what anybody says on whatever social media platform there is. So, for open to all to see, I wonder what they're going to think of me. I wonder how I look. Am I getting somebody's approval this morning? Not you people, but how do I look? Because people have committed suicide because of comments that people have made on social media. We laugh about it, lekker lach, maar dit is 'n waarheid, julle. It's critical. So I wonder if we as Christians are missing this thing about where our lives should be lived out. The psalmist speaks about he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What does that mean? This morning, before we get to a time of personal ministry, one-on-one ministry, praying for each other, I want to look at just three aspects from that verse. It is dwell, and it's secret, and it's shadow. Dwell, secret, and shadow. What does dwell mean? The best example that I can give, because I am me, myself, and I. There's a phenomenon known in weaponry as a rifle's dwell time. I'm going to read it to you. It's the time when the gas port is effectively under pressure, when the bullet passes the gas port to when it leaves the barrel, is known as the dwell time. This is specifically in an AR-15 rifle, the rifle similar that was used in the attempted Trump assassination recently, is the dwell time of that particular weapon. That time is critical. It's critical. The gas has to be at the right place at the right time, past this port, so that the mechanism of the rifle can cycle properly and chamber the next round. If that timing is out, die ding gaan nie werk nie. It's not going to work properly. You're going to get a storing, a jam. That's dwell time of this weapon. It's critical. Okay? It all functions as a system. These are key words. It all functions as a system. All right. If there is not enough duration of pressure, the rifle will malfunction. So great, Mozzie. Now I know a little bit more about an AR-15. And if you'd like to know more, come speak to me. I'd love to share with you. So in the context of this sermon, what does that mean for us? Well, dwell means the following. He who dwells means the following. It means waiting, watching, listening. I'd like us to, for a few seconds, be as quiet as we possibly can in this place this morning. Apart from the baby, that's fine. It's a baby. Just shh. Not the baby. Julle moenie lag nie. Bly net stil. Can you see how difficult it is to be quiet? You've proved it to yourselves. Can you see how difficult it is to be quiet, church? Can I get a loud amen? Amen. So dwell means to wait, to watch, to listen, staying in our prayer closets long enough, no matter how long it takes, until we hear from God. Did you get that? Staying as long as it takes until you hear from God. Not because, no, I'm going to be late for whatever. Well, why didn't you get ready earlier so that you could wait long enough on God? That's dwell time. However long it takes until we hear from God. If we don't do this, like that AR-15, whose dwell time and gas function is out of sync, you will not function properly in 2024. You will not function properly in today's day. You will not function under the political climate in this country. You will not function under the spiritual climate in this country. Is it meaning anything to anybody this morning? So unless we dwell long enough, we're going to malfunction. Don't raise your hands now, but how many of you feeling that you're malfunctioning or know somebody else in other churches that are malfunctioning? It's not as easy as it sounds. Remember what happened to the disciples when Jesus asked them to stay awake and watch with him in prayer before his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. You can read that passage of scripture. You see in Mark chapter 14, verse 32 to 42. I'm going to paraphrase it for you. He says, guys, it's crunch time. I'm about to go through stuff that the world has never seen before. I'm about to go through stuff that I've never gone before. It's going to be a difficult time. I need my bras with me. My chabas, my chais. I need you here, brew. We talk about that in the biking culture. Biking brotherhood. He needed his brotherhood there. In his hour of greatest need, humanly speaking, there was nobody to be found. They fell asleep. And Mozzie, in his self-righteousness, thought, what a bunch of muhus. If I was a disciple of Jesus at the time, I would have been awake with Jesus. Somebody else in the Bible also had that attitude. His name was Peter. Look what happened to Peter. I'll never leave you, Lord. I'll never forsake you. These other people might desert you, but not me, Lord. Before the rooster crowed twice, he denied him thrice. And I used to judge these disciples, think, what a bunch of jerks, man. I mean, couldn't they just stay awake with Jesus? But the scripture teaches that they fell asleep not because they were tired, but the sorrow of the hour and the weightiness of the spiritual atmosphere was so heavy they couldn't stay awake because of the spiritual intensity of what was happening in the spiritual realm. And they fell asleep. That's why they fell asleep. Not because they were spent too many hours on social media. That's why they fell asleep. So it's not as easy as it sounds to dwell long enough until you hear from God. It takes dedicated, committed practice, 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 practice. The first time you took one of your beautiful super bikes around the track, Mabut, you were like slower than cancer. They could have timed you with a calendar, right? To get the lap times you do today, you had to do it again and again and again and again and again. Where's the Reese family? Are they here? Where are the boys? I saw Renee, are we? Judy? Yeah.
Hey, isn't that so, man? It's like it, eh? In the beginning, you're like, you're so slow. You had to practice. And your times got quicker. And the quicker it got, the lacquer it got. And the lacquer it got, the quicker it got. And so just same applies to dwelling. And it takes discipline and practice to get used to being quiet enough to hear what God is saying. Let's dwell. So what secret? I ask this question. What does a secret place mean? The scripture teaches that God is impartial. It means he does not love Leonard more than he loves me, although he should, because Leonard is a way better man of God than I'll ever be. It doesn't mean that he loves the geseende, the gesalfde, the anointed, gifted, whatever, more than he loves a suicide Taliban bomber. It does not mean that. God is impartial. He loves everybody. Everybody. He loves the sinner. He loves the saint. He loves the just. He loves the unjust. He loves the righteous. Sorry. Matt's here. Daniel's there. I wondered, Matt is looking a little bit small at the back. Sorry, my boy. My eyesight. What was I saying before that I got distracted? Yeah, he's impartial. He has no, don't worry, blue-eyed boys with brookies. Well, see, we say that lightheartedly, but God is impartial. So if he's impartial, just bear with me. If he has impartial love for everybody, why would he reveal some things to some people and keep some things away from other people? Anybody like to venture an answer this morning? Why would he do that? Did Mark Mosnissen nie jylle? Can you understand what I'm saying there at the back? Why would he keep a secret from one of his children and reveal another secret or the same secret to one of his other kids? I'm going to tell you, God reveals his best kept secrets. His best kept secrets to his hungriest children. Those who pay the price and who make the sacrifice to sit, to stay, to watch, to wait, to pray, to rise with him and for him, no matter how long it takes. You see that in Matthew, in Mark chapter 4, Mark 14, verse 32 to 42. Hulle gebruik werkwoorde daar, verbs, wait, watch, sit, stay, wait, rise. Those who make the time to do that, God will say, Tae, Tae. That which you've done in secret, I've seen. That which you've done in secret, I'll reward you openly with. Diane, I've seen your hunger. I've seen your faithfulness. I've seen your dedication, your loyalness, your loyalty and your commitment. Here's this little bit of revelation from my word. Amen. Take it and go and change the world. Amen. Bless you, my faithful servant. But those who make the time to sit and to wait and to watch and to pray until you hear from him. Nivat, I'm driving away to work. Get out of the way. Praise the Lord Jesus. You got your gospel. I'm praying to the Lord. Get in the office. You're multitasking. Ek bid. Or to value your tongue. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Now you can pray anywhere and everywhere. Some of the best times I've had with the Lord is in the shower. Hello. Because he's omnipresent. But what I'm saying is, because we people, because our flesh is weak, we got to give God ons onverdeelte aandag. Our undivided attention. He gave us heaven's best. We got to give him our best, not second best. He's not into second best. Don't give him the leftovers of your day or the worst of your morning. Give him the best. Give him your best. Give him your best and he'll do the rest. Come on, church. The noisier the world gets, the quieter we need to be. The noisier the world gets, the quieter we need to be. Right now, I stay in SE3 Funderbell Park, and it's not going to be long, and I'm going to be moving to Rosseville. Praise God. Okay, settle. Thank you. I appreciate those hands of, that's faith. Hallelujah. Faith in action. Even in the quietest times in SE3, when God wakes me up early in the morning to start work and do business with Daddy, there's an ambient noise outside in front of Bell Park. It's like a... I don't know what it is, but I do know what it is. It's an ambient noise. So Mozzie, ek is 'n boer sien jong. What's the ambient se ding as dit hierdie? What's the ambient? What is it? Is it ambient? And explain what an ambient noise is. Okay? Ambient is an adjective. Dis 'n beskryfwoord, né? Help my, dis 'n omskryfwoord. Byvoeglike naamwoord. Dis 'n adjective. It describes something, okay? It's used to describe an aspect of the environment that completely surrounds you, but in a mellow way, like an ambient music played softly throughout a restaurant or the ambient orange glow during a setting sun. So that's the noise in Funderbell Park. But in the spiritual realm, what is the ambient noise? You know what causes the ambient noise in the spiritual realm? When you're trying to hear from God, when you're trying to hear that still, small voice, Rosa, jy weet waarvan ek praat, nee? Jy ken daai stem so goed. When you hear that still, small voice, Belinda, where are you? When you hear that still, small voice, you know what stops you from hearing that in the spiritual realm? You know what causes that in the spiritual realm? It's the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. Causes that ambient noise that we cannot hear God. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. We see that in Mark, the 4th chapter, and the 19th verse. It's those things that come and steal the seed of the word of God that he tries to deposit in your spirit, in your quiet times. And we only get those in these secret places that we make time to spend with the Lord. That's what causes this in the spiritual realm. The scripture says in Psalm 46 and verse 10, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Does it not? No. It says that in other Psalms. Caught you. They just say, yes, yes. There's a lesson right there. Don't just accept anything that everybody says because he's on a stage with a Bible in his hand and a microphone. You've got to test the spirits. 1 John 4 and verse 1. Test the spirits from 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Check it out there. Okay. Psalm 46 and verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. It means, hey, shut up, yay. Jy praat te veel. There's nobody more guilty of that than me. Some people falsely accuse me of riding too fast on the roads with my motorcycles. Dis 'n leendaai, moet dit nooit glo nie. But I've never ridden as fast as this blabbermouth can warra, 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 warra. I struggle with being swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I battle with that. James 1 and verse 19 says, beloved brethren, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I tend to before I get to a point where my own voice annoys me, man. It's hard for me to be still and know that he's God. And unless I be still and know that he is God, ek gaan nie by die Here kan hoor julle. My head will be full with lots of good ideas. How many can relate to what I'm saying? Full of lots of good ideas, but little to no godly ideas. You don't want to try and implement a good idea in your life. Jy gaan misluk. You need to implement godly ideas in your life. Is it meaning something to somebody this morning? And you only get that in the secret places when you dwell long enough and he shows you these little secret gems that he gives to you. A secret place may refer to what people call their prayer closet. Raise your hands if you've heard that before. A prayer closet. You get? Or your war room. That was made popular by that Christian movie a couple of years ago. Everybody went home and made themselves a little war room. Well, that's great. That's good. I'm not knocking it. But why did it take a movie to get you to make a war room? You obviously learned something from that, isn't it? You learned the power of prayer from that movie, The War Room. Now, that can be described as your secret place. It's the place in our new home on the other side of the pool is a little thatch place that's waiting for me. It's waiting. I know. That's going to be one of my secret places. Where before the birds have woken up, I'm going to be there waiting on God to be still. The current owners, they don't know it yet, but that God's prepared that place for me. They don't know it yet. It's coming. That secret place. Do you have a war room? Do you have a secret place where you go? Where you go to be quiet and hear from God? The things in secret, it means those special gems of special spiritual insight and revelation that God gives to you, that He's not given to anyone else. You say, well, hang on a second, Mozzie, that's heresy. Wait, there's more. Those special things that He gives to you that He's not given to anybody else from the same word, because it's tailor-made for you to fit the context of your current situation in your life. He takes you past the point of understanding the chapter and verse in your head to the point where you get the spiritual revelation of it in your heart. Can you see the difference, church? For example, who'd like to quote to me, you don't have to give me the street address, chapter and verse, but if you can, that's great. Who'd like to shout out to me? I bet you lots of you shouted and screamed in front of a television screen yesterday when South Africa played the whoever's. I want to hear you scream that favorite verse, chapter and verse this morning and quote it to me. Quote your scripture verse to me now. Whoa, 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 stop. What is it, like 3-4 people that are willing to shout out the scripture verse? You can do much better than that, church. Come on. You must shout it out with tuvaden. What is your chapter and verse favorite scripture? Go. Right. Now, all of those things you've said, for some, it's special to you because something probably happened in your life where it meant something special. But to other people, it's, it's just another verse. But when you get the revelation of that, that's when God gives you that special secret spiritual revelation of the same chapter and verse, but it means something special to you. Folks, you're not going to get that in the busyness of the day. You might, but you're going to have to be tuned in. You're going to have to be walking close with the Lord in the busyness and the heat of battle out there. But it's a lot easier when we make the time to receive it from Him, when you have that place where you withdraw from everything and everyone. All right? These are the truths and the revelations that God gives you that you must write into your prayer journal. How many of you do not know what a prayer journal is? Please be honest. A prayer journal. Okay? A prayer journal is a diary that you keep of these special moments of revelation that God gives you. You need that because if you don't take a step and take measures to memorize it, when you need it again, you would have forgotten it completely. You're going to be unarmed, unprepared, and the devil is going to convince you of lies. You need to remind yourself often of what it is that God said. That is why God chose to allow the Bible to be written and penned by the hands of men. Because spiritually, when it comes to God's word, if it's not written down, it does not exist. Think about that. That's a sermon series all on its own. If it's not written down, it doesn't exist. God always wanted it to be written on the hearts of people, but He also chose to have it written in what we call the Bible. It's when you get those secret things from the Lord, you must diarize it. You know, I can, at any given time, I'll make myself accountable. I'll show you my prayer journal. I put the date, I put what I sense and I feel the Lord is saying to me, and I always find scriptural confirmation to make sure that I'm not listening to Radio Boslace and the Lord of Darkness instead of the Lord of Light. I've got to match it with what the Word says, because if it isn't in harmony with the Scriptures, the devil has said it to me and God ain't said it. So many times in my walk with God, I've heard people say, "Die Here het gesê," or "the Lord told me," and I wonder, which Lord are you talking about now? The Lord of Darkness or the Lord Jesus who rose from the dead? Because what you're telling me comes from the Lord of Darkness. It ain't in chapter and verse. So take what the Lord says to you and just go wrestle that through with the God of the Bible. Okay. You've got to write it in the journal. Colossians 3 and verse 3, it says in the New King James, listen to this. It says in the New King James, "For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." You died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's special intimacy between you and the Trinity and no one else. Not even your vaifiki. Not even your skataboliki. It's between you and your Holy, the Trinity alone. It's between you, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. It's those special times where you've got a glimpse of something from Him that you've never seen before. You can imagine, like Moses, he's asking, "God, we don't want to go anywhere, Lord. I don't want to do anything, Lord. This is a big responsibility, Lord. I've got to lead these millions of bickering, bitter, hardnekkige people of yours, Lord. And then there's people trying to kill us in the Egyptians. Lord, it's too much. I don't want to go anywhere or do anything until I hear from you. God, please, please, show yourself to me, God, show." And Moses pleaded, "God, please." And God says, okay, whoa, whoa, settle. I'm going to pass by you. I'm going to put you in the cleft of this rock and cover you with my hand. And you're just going to get a glimpse of my back." And Moses is like, "Lord, I'm so desperate. I'll take whatever you give me, Lord. I know it will be sufficient." And he gets a glimpse of God. He gets a glimpse and he's changed forever. And he knows, "I've seen. Now I know. Now I know what we can achieve, because this God is this God. This God will be with us." You get these glimpses from God in these times. And the NLT, Colossians 3, says this: "For you died to this life, and your real life," everybody say real life. And the rest of you also say it, real life. That's why we're called Real Life Ministries. Your real life is hidden with Christ in God. That's why we're called Real Life Ministries. So I wonder, church, do you have a special secret place or a regular set time of your day where you can get yourself away from all the noise in order to hear God's voice? I wonder. I wonder how different your life would be if you did have one, if you don't have one. And if you do have one, I wonder how different your life would be if you spent more time there. I wonder. I'm just saying. I wonder. One of the reasons why Jesus was the most powerful public figure ever was because he had a special secret place and a regular set time in his day where he'd go to hear from the Father. Mark 1 and verse 35, it says, "Now in the morning," everybody say morning. When is morning? It's not a trick question, Peter. You could have answered, Bru. Eddie, morning is now. Good to see you, my bud. "Now in the morning," having risen when? After hitting the snooze button on his mobile like 6 times. No. "In the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." A long while. When everybody was still sleeping and had been overcome by the spirit of duvet in the winter and the cold. And they overcome, "Ek is te moeg nie, die Here verstaan, ek gaan 'n bietjie laat slaap vir oggend, man. God understands, man, I'm going to just dos and Where's Kobus and Natasha, they're not here. I love them to bits, they're almost always late. I say almost always late. It's like, no, while it's still dark, the birds haven't even woken up yet. That's my best time with God. I love it. While it's still dark, Jesus gets up and he goes and he went out. He goes to a departed solitary place and there he prayed. That's why we will never be more publicly powerful than we are privately prayerful. How could Jesus walk through the streets of the day with everybody trying to kill him and the very people he came for trying to kill him, not understanding him, his best, closest buddies deserting him, his own stepbrothers and stepsisters not understanding him? You know what? I just don't get you, dude. You look a little bit too weird for this family. Just go elsewhere. You know what I mean? That's what his family were like. That's how they treated him. They just didn't get him. With all of that going in, how did he cope? How did he cope? I submit to you that before his foot hit the public streets and the cities of wherever he went, he'd already heard and seen from the Father. And he knew, this is it, Dad. We've got this. Because he made the time to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And he spent time with Dad until he heard from the Father. However long it took. No, Jesus, you've got to come now. So-and-so's dead. You want to, you're Jesus. God, what do you say? And then he moved, and only then he moved. Are you wondering maybe why we're not as effective as Jesus? It's because that's lacking in our lives. Is it making sense to anybody this morning, church? So just stand up quickly. Everybody stand up. Stand up quickly, please. Stand up, stand up. Vryf jou boude, jou eie boude, nie vrou sinne voor jou. Vryf jou boude. Vryf. Okay, that's it. That's it. Okay, sit. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. If you really need to go, if you really need to go, you may be excused. I'm going to start landing this thing. Those that have to go, you can leave, but you're going to miss out on some ministry in front of you. So what is the shadow? Okay, I'll close with this. With this, and then we're going to pray. And then I'm going to ask the deep end to come up and to just minister that last song to us again. Break every chain. So what is a shadow? A shadow means, it refers to darkness, or in the context of this sermon, it means being out of the limelight. Shalane will be able to tell us what the limelight means, because the ministry platform that God has given her to make a difference for the kingdom is involving people that are in the limelight. That's the platform in which she's effective and where God is using her in a mighty way. So the limelight, so to speak, in the early 1800s, the stages were lit when they heated a vessel containing a mineral called lime. They heated it and it would make this intensely bright light. And it became popular in 1877, known as the limelight. That would mean you can be seen. Everyone's watching. You better do it right. So that's so diametrically opposed to the shadows. In a world where everybody wants to be in the limelight, they all want to be seen, they all want to be noticed, God teaches, no, come away with me to the shadows. Come away to the to where it's a little bit darker. Some people think that God is only light, and he is light, but you know he dwells everywhere, even in darkness. When his son was busy dying on the cross, darkness was there. God was there watching over his son. Come and experience God in the shadows where nobody's watching. Or do you only pick up the papers that are lying around at church? Or do you only do whatever it is that you do at church when people are watching, when Mozzie's there? Or do you do it when nobody's there because you couldn't care who's watching? You're doing it as unto the Father. Not because the pastor's here. Who? That kind of service. Can you see what I'm talking about? Are you still with me, Dion? Good. Debbie, nudge him in the ribs when he falls asleep there. See? Dion, I know you weren't sleeping. You were praying. He's examining his eyelids from the inside. Hallelujah. So that's where the limelight comes from. So folks, here's the deal. We've spoken about dwell. It means waiting. We've spoken about secret. The special things from God. We've spoken about shadow. I'll close off by saying this. Deep end, could you come up, please? Everything, and I mean everything that Satan's worldly system has to offer, has already or is going to come to nothing. The absolute best place for a child of God to be is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shelter of his wings in secrets and shadows. I'm going to repeat that in case I missed it. Everything, and I mean everything, that Satan's worldly system has to offer has already or is going to come to nothing. The absolute best place for a child of God to be is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of His wings, in secrets and shadows. Abiding under the shelter of His wings. So this week, God laid on my heart and showed me the following. There are many, many people here this morning that are suffering under the bondage of various types of addictions. Amen. Hallelujah. Preach it, brother. Preach it. He just said there, preach it, brother. That's confirmation. He wants to be delivered of nappies. So this morning, God wants to set people free. If you have any form of addiction, what does addiction mean? You could be addicted to pornography. You could be addicted to food. You could be addicted to gossip. You could be addicted to bitterness and unforgiveness. You could be addicted to alcohol. You could be addicted to craving the attention of people. You could be addicted to coffee, which causes major, major physiological side effects. Some of you are already saying, get behind me, Satan. You think, how can something that tastes so good and makes me feel so good be addictive? Well, just try to do without it for a while and you'll see on track and something about your cry. You could be addicted to alcohol. You could be addicted to cigarettes. Whatever your issue is, the one whose name we sang and proclaimed this morning wants to set you free. He wants to break those chains. So I'd ask us all to stand, please, every single one. The deep end is going to play that song softly in the background. If you have any form of addiction, I don't need to know what it is. I don't want to know what it is. God knows. I want you to come to the front. We're going to meet you down here in the front, lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, and pray for you so that God can set you free from whatever it is the devil is keeping you bound with. Folks, the nature of addiction is as follows. Come forward while we're speaking. Come forward, come forward. The nature of addiction is as follows. People speak about a demon of dacha or a demon of this. Or that's a clump nonsense. Addiction is caused by one thing and one thing only. Intercessors, please continue to pray. This is the most critical time of our celebration this morning. Any form of addiction is caused by what the Bible teaches is a spirit of bondage. A spirit of bondage keeps you trapped. It keeps you tied up. It keeps you bound so that you do not have freedom to move. You do not have freedom to live in health. You do not have freedom to be the man or woman of God that He's called you to be. And this morning, that thing, that demon from the pit of hell, I apologize, guys, I'm going to use another mic, okay? That thing that is keeping you in bondage is going to bow its knee to the Lordship of Jesus this morning. The scripture says that greater is He who's in me than he that's in the world. And Jesus came to set us free from our captives. He came to set us free. If something is broken, it can be fixed. But if something is destroyed, it is beyond repair. Do you understand the difference? Some translations speak about the anointing of God in Isaiah 10, verse 27, that breaks the yoke of bondage. But maybe the devil might be able to get it right to fix that again. But if it is destroyed, it is beyond repair. The New King James says that God gives us the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. And that's what's going to happen in the lives of the people this morning. God is going to set them free from that bondage. Why? Because they humble themselves in His presence this morning. They humble themselves in His presence this morning. And I want to say, Lord says to each one of you this morning, it's not because you deserve it or you're good enough or whatever. It's because God loves you and He wants to set you free. And the scripture says, he who is free indeed. We're going to pray a corporate prayer over you this morning, and then we're going to make the time to do one-on-one ministry with you. For the folks that need to leave and have to leave, you're more than welcome to go. Thank you for celebrating with us this morning. May God keep you safe in your travels, and God willing, We see you same time next week. But for the rest of the folks who want to stay, please, please, please continue to pray as we stand in the gap for the folks this morning. I'm going to ask the altar workers, handlebar team members, care group leaders, please stand behind these folks as we pray them with them, ladies with ladies, gents with gents. Make the time to pray with you and just give God room to do what He needs to do this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Deep End. Just play for us. Say thank you.
There is power in the name of Jesus.